on the line, guys. We're going to run this till we run this set right. This is a phrase I heard many times as a player. And as a coach, I know I said this many times too. In this episode of Vertical View, I speak with Southern Wesleyan University's men's basketball assistant coach, Mr. Darius Carter. Coach Carter and I will discuss how he got into the coaching career, why he coaches, and what he has learned over these years in college basketball circles. Prior to coaching, Darius attended Tusculum College, where he wore the number 3 for the Pioneers men's basketball team. As a 4-year player, Darius scored 1,338 points, ranking him 10th all-time. He also ranks 5th in program history for career steals. The 2-time team captain and team MVP earned all-conference honors after his senior year campaign. After earning his sports management degree from Tusculum, Darius launched into his coaching career as a grad assistant coach while working on his master's in educational leadership at Northern Arizona University. After a few years at NAU, Coach Carter joined head coach Nick Pasqua at NCAA Division II Southern Wesleyan University and quickly made history. The Warriors hit the NCAA record books as the most improved record from season to season. In their first season at SWU, the coaching staff turned a 2-26 season into a 20-11 season the next year, while also winning the Conference Carolina's Men's Basketball Tournament Championship. Up next is my interview with one of the most humble, incredibly hardworking, and highly professional assistant coaches in the game, Mr. Darius Carter. So if you're ready, I know I am, let's get vertical. Welcome back to Vertical View. And we'd love to welcome in assistant coach of the Southern Wesleyan University Warriors, Coach Darius Carter. Darius, welcome into Vertical View.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. Really appreciate this opportunity.
Darius, like we've talked before, I have just been honored to watch you as a young coach, particular to me at 50. But somebody who I admire with a skill set that is, in my opinion, second to none in small college basketball. And so I wanted to be able to talk with you and have other people get to know you in the way that maybe I've gotten to know you and maybe a little bit more. And so thanks for joining us. We're going to start out today's podcast with 3 questions to learn a little bit more about Coach Carter. Coach Carter wore number 3 when he played ball in college. And if you were to look up Coach Carter's stats, you'd be impressed. Yeah, he can ball out. In fact, I know even today he can take it to some of the guys that he's coaching. So, Darius, if you're cool with it, we're going to start out with 3 questions for Coach Carter.
Let's do it.
All right. Number 1, what's your favorite television or Netflix show?
My favorite television show would be The Office. I just got into watching The Office over quarantine, and I went through 9 seasons probably in a month, and I'm watching it again. So I would have to say that's my favorite. It just took over the top spot of my ranking.
That is awesome. That's one of my all-time favorites until Michael was no longer in the show, and so I had to leave it then.
Yeah. I probably, when I rewatch it, I'll probably watch like season 1 through 7, you know, and just keep going through those seasons.
So The Office, what was it before quarantine?
Before quarantine, I would probably say House of Cards.
Yeah.
With Kevin Spacey. That was one of my favorite shows. There's a few. I love watching Netflix, so. I have a lot of good shows that I like to watch on there.
Well, House of Cards is one that I've been told numerous times to watch, and I haven't gotten there yet. So maybe that should be up for me next.
Oh, yeah. If you can get through the first 2 episodes, it picks up from there.
All right.
All right. Number two and three questions for Coach Carter. What is the most played song in your music rotation this month? And I know it's brand new month, so I'll give you the end of November into early December.
Honestly, and this might come as a shock, I listen to a lot of John Denver.
What?
Yeah, that might come as a shock, but I do listen to a lot of John Denver. It really helps me unwind a little bit. And the backstory to that is when me and my brother, we were younger, we would go on family vacations, and we have a lot of family up north. So we would go to Cracker Barrel, and we would always stop in West Virginia at Cracker Barrel, and my dad would always get these CDs, like Jim Croce Greatest Hits.
Or, oh, yeah.
You know, John Denver. And so John Denver ended up being all of our favorite, really. And it just takes me to that peaceful, you know, place, you know, driving in West Virginia. Listening to some John Denver really gets you in a different different mood. You know, you can't be mad listening to John Denver. So that's probably been the most played.
I have got to say, I am shocked, and I'm pleasantly surprised that I now know that about you.
Yeah, that shocks a lot of people. I make sure everybody knows it, though.
All right, so did you say
– go around it.
Yeah, I like that. Did you say that Dad had a CD, or was it 8-track?
It was CD.
All right, well, that tells you how old I am again.
Yeah, we had the CD. It was just the greatest hits. And I don't know. I guess it's something about listening to John Denver, but also listening to it in West Virginia that, you know, really puts you in that moment, makes you feel it a little bit more.
Good stuff here from Coach Carter. This is one that I already know the answer to, but I really wanted Coach to dive into this a little bit more. Question three, are you a suit and tie or polo and slacks kind of coach? I know the answer, but why?
Oh man, I'm a suit and tie guy by far. I don't know. I mean, I've been wearing suit and tie, you know, growing up in church, and you know, my dad was a principal, so he wore a suit and tie every single day. But it's something about it that I guess I just look nice. I mean, not that polo and slacks don't look nice. I mean, that's way more comfortable. But
that's,
you know,
true.
I like putting together an outfit, you know, with your suit, your tie, your shirt, your socks. You know, I'm good for pulling out some socks that don't match at all. They could be cartoon characters. They could be anything. But for some reason, if I feel like, you know, if you look good, you play good. You know, you coach good. You know, whatever it is. So I try to, you know, look good, you know.
Yeah, and I would say you do. And it goes far beyond game day, right? Like, your sock game was incredibly strong, and probably was even last night. But even during the week, your sneaker game, sweats game, all of that, super strong. I got to give it to you.
Yeah, well, my dad always preached, you know, your presentation and, you know, how you look. The biggest thing, like, he probably would have been upset if he saw I had a beard right now. Talks about being clean cut and, you know, looking nice all the time. So, you know, he always talked about that. So that's probably one of the life lessons that have stuck with me throughout the years. And, you know, all the coaches that I've been around, they say the same thing. So
right.
Sometimes you got to at least look the part, you know. If I can't coach, at least I can look like I can, you know.
That's right. Well, that is some good stuff. That was three questions with Coach Darius Carter, in memory of your days wearing number three up at Tuscola.
Oh, man, I appreciate that.
Yeah, back in the day. So let's get into your playing and coaching career. And I've already talked about this. You can ball out. I've seen you take it to some of the guys, even pre-practice. And I said your stats speak for themselves. And I'm gonna go way back. And who got you started in sports? Was it your brother? Was it, you know, dad, mom, somebody else? Who was it that got you involved in it?
Early on, it was my dad. He was a high school basketball coach at the high school that I graduated from in the 90s. And, you know, just being around his teams, you know, he obviously had practices and things like that. So I would always be around, you know, shooting, being a disturbance, I guess, you know, causing a scene, as all little kids do. But I was always there with him at practices and things like that. And so early on, he was my biggest influence. I remember, you know, after some of the games that he had, I would be in the office drawing up plays. And, you know, he taught me the X's and O's pretty early. I knew how to draw up a play pretty early.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, due to him. But his teams were really, really good. In 1996, his team was number 4 in the USA Today rankings in the country. They won a state championship that year. They won a state championship in 1998 as well. So he had some really good teams. So really at that time, it was just I wanted to be like some of his players as well. They were like the rock stars, as you would say.
Yep.
You know, some people would play, you know, outside on their court and yell Kobe or Jordan or, you know, whoever. I would yell some of his players' names because they were the guys. So, you know, early on that influenced me. And then once I got older, my brother, just watching him go at it every day because he was a Division I basketball player too. Just watching the work that he put in and, you know, watch it pay off. You know, that's what motivated me and what I kind of followed later in life.
And your story about, you know, being in the driveway or in the gym by yourself and pretending to be somebody, that really resonates with me. I did that. I remember going to the high school that I attended and watching the guys play when I was in like seventh grade. And I would go home and practice and try to emulate what they did. So I can just imagine you doing that. That's super cool.
Oh, yeah. So the good old days.
So move it forward a little bit and you started to develop yourself. Your game started to come along. And so what was it that you really felt like you needed to do to be, I guess, seen and be recruited yourself? You know, watching your brother, like you said, be able to move on and play at a high level. What was it that you had to do?
Well, early on, I was probably a little bit more inexperienced. Surprisingly, you know, like going through high school, I was good through middle school. You know, always being like the top player on your team and things like that. And then I went to a smaller school in ninth grade, and you know, it was good for me, but I probably wouldn't have been recruited that highly because the school was so small. So I transferred to the school where my dad was principal and where he coached at in Danville, George Washington. And has a rich basketball history, good competing for state championships at the highest level in Virginia every year. So I transferred there, and, you know, I felt like that was going to be a huge step in me developing. I felt like all the guys that were there were probably more talented, more athletic, stronger, faster. So I kind of just felt like, you know, iron sharpens iron. So, you know, just being around those guys and being in that program was going to help me. My biggest thing was when I was younger, I was slow and I was very, very skinny. So really developing physically, was going to be a big thing for me. And that high school had, you know, the weight training program where you had it as a class pretty much. So you lifted every day. So my 10th grade year, I had to sit out, and, you know, if anybody who's ever had to sit out a year from sports, it really takes a toll on you. Just, you know, the game kind of speeds up once you get back.
Right.
So, but I did develop physically, and 11th and 12th grade, I knew I just had to play hard. I was the guy on the team. Like, this might be a shock to you, but I averaged probably 7 points a game my junior and senior years in high school. You know, I could hit an open 3-pointer. I could defend. I would always guard the best player on the other team. I just played hard. That was really it. And I didn't really develop as much skill, per se, until I got to Hargrave Military Academy, which is where I went after high school. I did a post-grad year. And that's where I played for Coach Keats, who's now is the head coach at NC State University. And, you know, he really put a lot of confidence in me. You know, once you know, I was playing with guys who were – going to the ACC schools and going to all these Division I schools, you know, me going to a Division II school, I probably should have been the 9th, 10th man on the bench. But I came in, I played hard. I did add skill. I did, you know, keep developing. I played hard once again every game. So I was the seventh man. So I played a lot of minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that says a lot, you know, but just trying not to forget that, you know, that effort piece, that blue collar type mentality that I always tried to have. And then, you know, going in college, you know, it was up and down. It was up and down. It was, you know, freshman year, my first game, I had 23 points. And then I probably didn't hit 10 points the rest of the year. sophomore year was rocky. And then I really took off my junior and senior years, you know, just
yes,
really took my effort piece and the working on the game. And I guess I like to say professionalism,
right,
to that next level. And it kind of just took off from there.
Yeah. And three words that I would say kind of sum you up is humility, effort, and professionalism. So you nailed it. Those are three things. When I think of Darius Carter and who you are today and who you will become in the future, those are three words that I think you're going to continue just to work on, and really show people every day. Let's switch now. You're playing, you know, you're at Tusculum. When did it click in your head? And maybe it was before Tusculum, but when did it click in your head that, man, coaching is what I want to do?
I always wanted to be a coach. I always felt like that's what I wanted to do in life. I mean, it's the family business.
That's great.
With my dad being a coach, my brother being a coach, obviously. So it is the family business. So I always knew I wanted to get into coaching. I didn't know how and what level. And I would say I didn't figure out how I wanted to do it until probably my junior year of college. And I was that student who, you know, I figured C's get degrees, you know, as long as I do enough just to get by, you know, I'm not failing, I'm eligible, you know, I'm doing enough.
Right.
And then my junior year, it clicked for me. Is I said, you know what, I want to go to grad school. And to get into grad school, you know, you got to have good grades. I want to be a GA somewhere. You know, I figured that would be the easiest way to get into coaching,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
So I picked up my grades a little bit dramatically. I ended up graduating with like a 3.4. And, you know, I started reaching out to people as soon as our basketball season ended my senior year. I started reaching out to people and, you know, trying to find GA spots. And that was that was a crazy time itself, just because, you know, all the rejection that you get.
Right.
Emailing all these different teams. I probably emailed probably 300 different programs.
Wow.
You know, and all of them said no, or, you know, yeah, we have a GA spot, but we don't play for college. And I kind of felt like that was counterproductive.
Right.
So, so it was very turbulent. And, you know, it was crazy. One of the schools who said no to me, actually, they two more people had recommended a coach at Northern Arizona to him. It was Coach Wes Pfeiffer.
Yep.
Two more coaches that recommended my name to him, and he ended up knowing my brother as well. So he called me back, and he interviewed me, and I got the GA spot, and he told me, you know, I really like you, but you got to be up here in 2 days. So I packed a duffel bag and I was in Arizona with two days notice.
Wow.
And that's where it started. No car, nothing.
That's incredible. It's incredible. And again, it goes back to the number of times that you had to reach out and be professional, even in the midst of rejection, again, speaks to, your determination, the professionalism, the effort piece. So you talked about it being a family business, and your family has been in coaching, continues to be in coaching. How has that shaped you into who you are today, both as a man, but also as a coach?
It's really shaped me from the standpoint of I kind of had a cheat sheet, I guess you would say, or a front row seat in seeing what it takes to be a coach and to be a good coach at that. And I don't say this to be bragging, but my dad was a really, really, really good coach. One of the best defensive minds that you'd be around, you know, but the other part that he was probably the best at was connecting with his players, you know, developing those relationships with his guys. He was a tough coach, but at the same time, he was the most loving coach.
Right.
So seeing that balance of seeing the balance of having both, they called him the general because he was really, really tough. But at the same time, all his players loved him and they, you know, treated him like he was their father.
Yeah.
And to a lot of kids, he was that. So seeing that with him, my brother is kind of the same way. Very, very tough, hard-nosed coach, great defensive mind. But once again, just the relationships that he could develop with his players. Coach Keats is another one who, you know, put the utmost confidence in his players and really got the best out of them just off of that alone.
Sure.
So those three are some of who I really, really draw from. They've probably been my biggest influences just growing up in life and seeing how they moved and operated, how they related to their players and their staff, everything. Those have influenced me probably the biggest.
So keep it in the family a little bit. Let's talk about mom. How has mom influenced you in particular with probably the academic side of the house, but I would say from watching mom over the last year or two, both with you and your brother, that she's had some influence on the coaching side too.
Oh yeah. Mom, she would definitely give her input. that's one thing about it. And the thing about mom, she's going to always be positive. And she doesn't mean anything by it, but she's going to say what's on her mind. And it's going to come out positive somehow. Like, we could have a tough game, and mom will come out, she'll send a text message, and be like, "Well, sorry about the game last night. Y'all kind of just – y'all didn't look as tough as you usually do, but it's okay. Y'all will figure it out." You know, she's trying to be positive, but at the same time, she's saying what's on her mind.
Right.
But my mom, you know, she it's been funny to watch her change through life. She was that tough-nosed parent too, growing up. You know, she comes from a blue-collar background, you know, with my grandparents, and, you know, they worked extremely hard. So she was really tough on us growing up. Now she was, you know, over the last few years, she's been a soft parent, you know. You know, you ask mom and she's going to say yes to everything. I could call my mom right now and tell her, you know, I need her to come up here, and she'll be the first one up here.
Yep.
It's been funny to watch her, you know, change and grow in life too. But yeah, she was that tough nosed parent, you know, always pushing us to work harder and be honest about our grades and our books, and you know, my C's get degrees mentality used to kill her.
Right.
She's like, you need to get all A's and. Because she's a college professor.
Wow.
She was a college professor. She's retired now. So she was always on us about our grades. And my brother used to get mad because when he got C's, he would get in trouble. He would get grounded. He would get whooping. When I got C's, it was just like, you know, I'm tired of fighting. Because I did it so frequently. Because I was consistent.
That's right. That's consistent. Right. C for consistency.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, mom plays a huge part, and she's to this day she's still our biggest fan. She'll travel when my brother was at Tusculum. She would travel there to watch him coach, and then travel to Southern Wesleyan to watch me coach. I mean, she would do that in a day.
Yep.
So she's our biggest fan, our biggest supporter, and it's not even close.
Yep. Yeah, I just wanted you to talk about her. I met her briefly last year and was just so impressed by her. And like you said, you knew she was business, but it was going to come across very positive. And I was just so impressed by Mom.
Oh man, she's the best. I couldn't ask for a better mother. That's for sure.
Well, let's talk about the whole family unit. And like you said, it's the family business. And I'm intrigued because I know some of your background. I'm intrigued to know how faith, the church world, your own personal relationship with Christ, how has that kind of blended into who you've become as a coach too? Talk a little bit about that.
Well, me and my family, we've always been in the church. My parents' families were a little bit more old school. So they were the type of, people who were in the church every time the doors opened.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, every single time the doors, there was an opportunity to be in church, they were in church. That's just how they were raised. That's still prevalent to this day. They love church. They love, the Lord. My dad, he was a preacher. He was a pastor. He had his own church. So he was the pastor and founder of that, Uniting in Christ Ministries. Me and my brother, we were always in the church. We would go to Bible study on Sundays. We'd go to church. We'd go to Bible study on Wednesdays. We spent a lot of time in the church.
Right.
Just having that solid foundation. And I think the part that had the biggest effect on us was being around, not really being in the church per se, but being around godly men.
Yes.
Like my dad always put us around men of faith who, they were good role models. They were great people. You would see them in church. You knew they went to the church, but more so you could see them live it. He always put us around positive role models like that, where you could see God in them more so. And I think just seeing those guys and seeing the grace that they moved with, it really had a positive effect on me and my brother, and a lifelong effect on him. I think my dad, he's the biggest example of that. Just somebody who, he would talk about God and things like that, but he wouldn't beat you down
right.
with it. But you could see God in him.
Right.
He moved with a certain grace. He, loved everybody. And nobody, there's not a person out there who could say a bad thing about him. And that's, the effect that has on people is, forever.
Yep.
So I would say that, just seeing godly men and seeing, positive role models like that, that's probably had the biggest effect on me, the biggest effect on my faith, more so than just, just being in the church and things like that.
Love it.
So that's really influenced me in coaching, though, just trying to, be the same thing for my players.
Yep.
Hoping that they see a positive male role model in me, see how they can incorporate God, into their daily life or, their daily walk. And just seeing how much more peaceful it is to be a man of faith, and knowing that no matter what you go through, you can always lean on him.
Yes.
Lean on God for whatever.
And that's exactly where I was hoping you were going to go. It's what I see in you is extension of what your parents and those other, like you said, those other men, the foundation of your faith. And now you're being able to live that out in front of your guys, your community, and you're becoming that mm-hmm. person for them. And so kudos to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you sharing that. Let's kind of switch to the here and now a little bit. How in the world did you end up meeting Coach Nick Pasqua? He's the head coach at Southern Wesleyan.
Huh.
How did you guys meet?
Well, I kind of knew Coach Pasqua from you know, his days when he was at King. I didn't really know him, but I knew who he was. Because when I was at Tusculum, he was an assistant coach at King University. So, you know, we crossed paths. He knew who I was. I knew who he was. But he took over at Tusculum when I was in Arizona. I was in Arizona in my second year, and that's when he took over at Tusculum. And, you know, my brother was the women's coach at Tusculum at the time. So they grew a relationship as well. But, you know, I would stop by and watch my brother, you know, practice or just hang out with him in the office whenever I could come home. And I spoke to Coach Pascoe a few times, you know, I ran into him. I watched some of his practices. I watched his teams because he was at my alma mater. And the biggest thing that I saw from Coach Pascoe is he really knew how to coach. He really knew how to coach. I mean, right away, like as soon as he got the job, he brought in a whole lot of talent, brought in a lot of young guys, but they were very, very talented. And I was like, you know, man, they're going to be really good in the years to come. And then once the game started, you know, coming along, I saw the stuff that he was running offensively. And I was just like, good Lord, like this is mind blowing stuff. And I remember playing against some of his teams at King. I used to be like, as a player, I was just like, these dudes are, they're just different. Like their offense is so hard to guard. Like they could all shoot. They could all, they were all tough. But it's like, you never knew what they were running. Every time you thought you had it figured out, yep. He had, you know, it was something totally different. It was a counter to what you thought yep. it was. So I just remember that stuff from when he was at King playing against them and then watching his teams at Tusculum, you know, really, really, you know, opened my eyes to, okay, this dude, he's the real deal. Mm. And once he made the move to Southern Westland, I was just like, you know, I want to be on your yeah. side. You know, no matter what it pays, no matter, you know, what the circumstances may be, no matter what the job is, I knew that going to work for him, I could learn something. And that was the biggest thing that drew me, was that just to be around one of the best offensive minds I've ever seen every day, I couldn't pass up that opportunity.
Great. I think that you compliment him perfectly. I think one of your strengths is recognizing talent. I think his is as well, but I think you really can see talent in a kid and how they might fit into the – I like the word you use, the process, right? And so talk to me a little bit about last season and how you guys kind of built up to, you know, turning around from, I think, man, it was 2-26 and turning around to it. I think it was 20-11, which would have put you guys at the single best turnaround in a year in the NCAAs. So talk to me a little bit about how you guys did that and kind of that new SWU thing that you guys, and the coaching staff just kept drilling into everybody's head. Anybody would listen, you were always dropping new SWU. Talk to me about last year and where you're going now.
Well, last year we could start from the beginning. Well, obviously, like our first year there, you know, we took over the program and we kind of took it over a little bit late. So, you know, we just worked with what we had, per se. We had a lot of things to get in order, but we finished that year 2-26. And even that can be misleading. You know, I mean, a lot of games were, you know, we were in the game. You know, we were competitive. Our biggest problem was we had seven players.
Right.
by the second semester, we had seven players. So, you know, we would kind of get fatigued a little bit near the end of the game. Teams would press us. You know, we could be up 15 on a team, and they'd start pressing us. And, you know, that kind of just wore us down throughout the game, and we couldn't finish. Right. But, I mean, what that team did have was they did have heart. They did execute our stuff, you know, and it gave us a chance. You know, obviously, more times than not, it didn't work out, but it gave us a chance. So, I mean, we learned a lot that year. just on the little things that it takes to, you know, be competitive in games. We, you know, schematically, we learned a lot about what works, what doesn't. And then coming into last year, you know, we really spent a lot of time on the road recruiting. I mean, we pretty much had a new team. We had four returners from that first year, guys who we knew were bought in, who knew what it took, knew what our expectations were. And other than those four, we had a brand new team. And really in recruiting, we really focused on guys who were kind of embodied what it means to be at SWU. And that's kind of like that underdog mentality. I think, you know, Coach Pascua, he carries that with him. He carries that chip on his shoulder, no matter what he's doing, where he's at. He carries that underdog mentality around with him. Same with me. I mean, we've always been, you know, we always feel like, you know, we've been the underdog. And so going into the year, our verse of the year was, the stone that was rejected has now become the cornerstone. And again, you see that verse a few times in the Bible. But the biggest thing, we recruited a lot of kids who were rejected from their schools. A lot of kids who were transfers that had went to other Division II schools. And, you know, they were looking for a better opportunity. They were looking for more playing time. They might have been even pushed out because a coach wanted somebody better, or, you know, just, so they were just looking for another opportunity. So literally our whole recruiting class were transfers, and we brought in one freshman who had no offers. He had no other offers besides from us. So once again, just the underdogs, the guys who were rejected. And, you know, we reminded them that, hey, we've all been rejected at some point. I mean, for me, it was applying to 300 places and nobody giving me a call back to be a GA, you know. You know, Coach Pascua has his own story, you know, whether it's what he's been through at King or at Tusculum. We all had our own stories, and we made sure they didn't forget that. So we kept reminding them of that, you know, we are all the stones who've been rejected. And we just kind of kept at it with that, you know, that blue collar mentality, you know, building off of, you know, the same things that we kind of ran the first year, you know, schematically, but just making sure that we were always the tougher team, you know, that blue collar mentality, that underdog mentality. And it led us to a conference championship. I think we peaked at the right time. And, you know, part of it was, you know, I think Coach Pascua did a great job of coaching them. And the other part of it was just God, honestly. I think it was a blessing because it doesn't happen. I mean, you could have the most talented team every year. Everything could go right.
Correct.
And you still come up short. You know, but I think the fashion that we won our conference championship in, I think, you know, it was really a blessing. And it really shocked me. It shocked our coaching staff. It shocked everybody, really. Just the fashion that it happened.
It was unbelievable. And I happened to be able to be there, and it was like a tidal wave that you knew was going to hit you, and you just didn't know how to get out of the way of it. It was, and when it did hit you, was so joyful to be able to watch you all celebrate that I think everyone in the building, win, lose, not involved, I think they knew that something special had happened and that something new had arrived at SWU, in particular with men's basketball.
Yeah, and I also want to say this too. Like, I know it's special for like somebody like you. Like, you saw everything that it really took. I mean, you saw all the gas receipts and things like that it took from recruiting, and you know, you saw the first year and everything that it took that year, and you know, where it came from to where it ended up. But I still remember, you know, our first year, you know, even when we would come up short, you would come to the office, hey, y'all are doing a great job, you know. You know, you always kept us encouraged, and, you know, we appreciate you more than you'll ever know just for believing in us. And trying to keep us positive, just having that support, knowing that you were behind us 1,000%. I mean, that meant more to us than you could ever imagine. So you obviously had a huge role in us getting where we got.
Well,
to.
I'll take some credit. Hey, Darius, we're talking with Darius Carter, assistant men's basketball coach at Southern Wesleyan University. And coach, as we kind of wrap this thing up, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. And the first one is, do you ever see yourself moving from that second chair to the first chair and becoming the head coach?
I do eventually. I'm not rushing it. I'm big on, the process of how things work. When I'm ready, my opportunity will come, obviously. But that's one of those things I think you're not ready until you actually do it. Being a head coach, it's very different than being the assistant coach, because you got so many different things you have to worry about. And I'm not one of those assistant coaches who always thinks I can do better than the head coach. I'm very humble in that aspect. But I think, when the time comes, I'll be ready. And that is my goal, to eventually be a head coach. And I'll be excited for that opportunity.
Your time is coming, and you're going to be excellent. So what would be three pieces of advice you'd give to a young person who might be thinking about getting into this coaching gig? What three things that you'd be like, hey, you really got to do this.
The first thing I would say, you got to be resilient. I think it's really tough just to get into the coaching world. So you got to be a little resilient. You got to keep at it, reaching out to people, trying to get your foot in the door. And then I also think you have to be humble enough to say, you're not too big for any particular job. You got to get your foot in the door somehow, and everybody's path is different. There's been plenty of people who made it to the highest levels of coaching. And you'd be surprised where they started, whether they were a manager, whether they were, a high school ninth grade coach or a middle school coach, everybody's path is going to be different. And you can't look at yours and act like, it's not good enough, or, the offers you have aren't good enough. You can make it no matter where you start. The biggest thing is you got to keep getting better. You got to keep learning, and be consistent in that. You got to be willing to lose some sleep.
Yes.
That's just what it requires sometimes, whether it's through recruiting, whether it's through watching film, trying to get your team ready. It could be practice, as far as you're going to lose some sleep. So you got to be willing to, lose some sleep. You got to be willing to, just continue to work every day and always learn, always be evaluating, trying to figure out how you can, help your staff, your head coach, your players, always thinking about how to improve. And that's really the biggest thing. And I've learned a lot about that through Coach Pasqua. He thinks about it 24/7. He's thinking about basketball, and it's being around him. The more I'm around him, the more I become like him, honestly. He's probably at the point now where he gets tired of me texting basketball stuff while he's trying to spend time with his family, but I blame it on him.
Well, there's some great advice from Coach Darius Carter, assistant coach for the SWU Warriors. Check him out on Twitter. You can find him at SWU Coach Carter, at SWU Coach Carter. And to follow his Warriors, go to www.swuathletics.com, swuathletics.com. Coach, man, it has been my pleasure to talk to you today. Thanks for being on the Vertical View. Well, we have reached the end of another episode of Vertical View. I want to thank Coach Darius Carter for joining me today, and I would encourage you to check him out on Twitter by following him at SWU Coach Carter, at
Swoo Coach Carter. Also follow him and his Warriors, the men's basketball team, by going to www.swuathletics.com. That's swuathletics.com. If you enjoyed this episode of Vertical View, please give us a high rating and a review. And finally, you can subscribe to Vertical View on any of the platforms that you listen to your podcasts. Finally, follow me on Twitter at @vertical_executive. For now, I'll see you the next time at the Vertical View.